So when you hear that music, do you think musical theater? Well, the folks at Seattle Repertory Theater are hearing that. They've commissioned a new musical set in the 90s grunge scene with music from Alice in Chains and Soundgarden. One of my next guests says this is a guaranteed disaster. Sean Nelson is editor-at-large and arts writer for The Stranger and a rock and roll singer. Good to see you again.
Oh, good to see you as well.
Sean, why is a grunge musical a guaranteed disaster?
I'm no theatrical impresario, but when I saw that they were planning to use the original song, or, you know, these songs, I guess like the one you were just playing, I just thought, wow, this is a real opportunity to demonstrate how rock and roll and theater are incompatible.
Why incompatible?
I think primarily because whatever else you can say about rock and roll music, it is very dependent on the beat and volume and a certain kind of, not all of it is based on sort of screaming and abandon, but it definitely contains that component. And musical theater tends not to really favor that mode. And I think that it's just a, there are a lot of reasons why I think that is it's like a perfect mistake.
Well, why can't the Seattle Rep bring the beat and the noise?
Because it is incompatible with the room. They could never make it loud enough in the room. I mean, they could physically make it loud enough in the room, but they certainly wouldn't. Theaters tend to be at a more polite volume. They're designed for orchestral acoustics, I think, especially that one, which is a beautiful room. And they do lots of amazing work. I'm not trying to impugn the art form of musical theater. However, I do think that the idea of doing this is sort of a, you know, it clearly is a sort of tourist trap kind of model.
Ouch.
For art commissioning. And I think it would be a real drag. I think it would be a real disgrace, actually.
Like a disgrace. Okay, hold that thought. And let's bring in composer and musician Greta Harley. Greta, welcome to KUOW.
Thank you.
You were there for the 90s Seattle music scene. You work in theater now, and I understand you co-wrote your own grunge-sicle.
No, it was not a grunge.
Oh, okay. what should I call it?
Well, These Streets was a three-pronged artistic endeavor to bring the women into the story that was being formed by outsiders about what grunge was. Sean and I know each other a long time, and we certainly didn't use that term grunge.
Yes,
yeah,
it's a commodification. It's a term that was used to stamp a particular time period and a generation that I think was sardonic and sarcastic and a bit xenophobic. And the immediate response to this, of course, in character of that, is like, this is going to be a disaster.
Yeah. I by the way, I thank you. When I'm speaking to the general audience, it's kind of like Pike's Market. I will use the term grunge, so because everybody knows what I'm talking about. But yes, that marks you as a Seattleite if you roll your eyes when you hear the word.
I think it was in quotes for many years, air quotes.
It was. And I had to be talked out of I wanted to keep the quotes in when we started to promote These Streets, but again, I want to just go back to These Streets was not only about the theatrical piece, which was an unconventional format that had a live band, but we were focusing all of the music on the women, and we also had a portion of it that was conversations, public conversations, and art gallery pieces of the memorabilia. But we also had addendum to history that the biographies of the women are now on the internet on thestreets.org. So we felt it was really important that it wasn't just the same handful of people that were making the story of the godfathers of grunge, that women actually were such a big part of that. And most people that I've talked to that weren't here have said to me, I didn't know women played music back then.
Right, right. Let me pick up on this idea of the being for the tourist, Sean, because you said that there's no way the Seattle Repertory Theater is going to create the sound of grunge, the noise, just the unholy sound. But what about what are you saying about it being for the tourists? Why can't a theater tell the story of a fascinating story, a story, you know, it's got the music, it's got the narrative. People know that there was a story that came out of Seattle at that time.
That's true. But, you know, the story has been amply documented. There's no shortage of versions of this story to be told. The only thing that's wrong with it, in my view, I mean, you know, if they want to do it, that's great. It's fine. I'm not trying to say they mustn't do it.
Of course.
I'm just saying that it can't be good.
Yeah. I want to get it like, it's what? It's cheesy? It's what? What is it that's going to be terrible, in your opinion, about this grunge music?
The very basic level, it will be a reduction of the experience, and in reducing it, simply in terms of the volume, it will diminish the thing itself and sort of make it into a T-shirt rather than this thing that actually happened and a sort of living, living is maybe the wrong word, but you know, it is a scene and a time that actually did exist and it mattered, and to do a piece of art about it, I think, would be fantastic. I'd love it if somebody did that. Uh-huh. And to a certain extent, I think These Streets was a good example of somebody doing a show about a story that was in that time, but it wasn't the official story, and that's why it mattered. That's why it was important.
Well, there's no official story.
Right. There are official stories that have been handed down to, you know, history and books and
What's the unofficial garbage? I'm trying to get at what's like, so Greta, doesn't all storytelling, theater, movies, it diminishes what actually happened. It's not a TikTok of what happened. What does they say? It's like a theater is life without the boring parts. What's wrong with condensing grunge into a little, evening experience for a couple hours? 90 minutes, whatever.
I think that whenever there is a time period and it has an impact to a broad range of people, that people are going to take that and create their own version of it, and it will be homogenized, it will be commodified, so it can't be exactly what we experience.
It never can be.
And there isn't one story. The only official story that's ever been told is by the same handful of people that have been interviewed about the same six or seven bands.
Yes.
Right.
But there were hundreds and hundreds of bands, and thousands of people who went to these shows and created a very tight-knit community. And
so that's the only fidelity, is to tell a story of hundreds of bands?
No, I mean, I can see why. I mean, I think what Greta's saying is really true, but I can also see why you want to tell the story of the people who are famous and who really sort of made it out of Seattle, but there is something intrinsic to that time, as I understood it and experienced it, which is that it was the very process of being reduced by media, by MTV, by magazines, by people in Sheboygan that made the bands feel alienated from the very thing they were doing. And Seattle has always obviously had a very complicated relationship with fame and notoriety. Yep. And of course, there's a degree of wanting it, and it's unfashionable to admit you want it. But at the same time, when you get it, it is a nightmare that is still living for a lot of people.
Yes.
And I think that it is inevitable that if somebody's going to do the story of Seattle rock and roll, you know, of that time, there's no way they're going to do it with a sad ending. No way they're going to do it with like this sort of, well, I guess that didn't work out so great. Good night, everybody. Thanks for coming.
Yes, the experience of it in Seattle, you're right, was absurd.
Yeah.
And but are we being too precious about what we really know happened when, for example, I think of grunge as as being really theatrical, you know, Jeremy spoke in class today there's this backstory about how he was bullied and daddy didn't give attention. The fact that mommy didn't care, King Jeremy, wicked.
Transformation is happening right here in the
studio. But I'm saying, if you're separate from being in the middle of it, and I saw them in somebody's basement in 1991 or whatever, if you just pull yourself back, isn't this theatrical music that ought to be made into a theater piece?
I don't know that the style that is, I mean, perhaps somebody could invent a brand new style of theatrical comportment that would allow for a stage vocalist to really scream the way he screams in that song, or the way Chris Cornell screams, or really any of the great vocal performances that happened in that music, the biggest hit songs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I would be astonished if there was one living Broadway, like the best, most famous Broadway vocal performer who would be able to bring themselves to sing like that on stage, because it's not right. It's not correct singing.
I think that you know, one of the things the challenges that we had when we produced These Streets is to have the music mixed like a live show. It didn't have the same kind of volume that you would get if you were at Mo.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, I think it was, it sounded pretty good. And we worked with somebody, Mike Soldano, and we had tube soakers, and we really had those guitars crunching, and they sounded great, and people were really singing out, and it wasn't mixed like the theater person wanted it to be mixed. And it was something that I had to really, you know, work on with
you
him.
You had to fight for it.
To fight for it. And so I don't know what they're going to do with this. So it's a little premature to have so much judgment on it.
Maybe Hamilton was a surprise.
And I think that, you know, the David Byrne
mm-hmm.
musical that they did was, people really seemed to love it.
Here Lies Love about Imelda Marcos. That was a crazy idea.
Yeah, and so maybe, you know, maybe they'll all surprise us, but I hope that they will do their research properly, and I hope that they will honor the music in a way that it deserves to be honored, and that the stories are listened to in an authentic way.
Okay, there's tip one, Seattle Rep. Please honor the music. Sean Nelson, any final advice? If Seattle Rep is listening to this right now, what should they do if they want to make it successful? They're going to make it, Sean.
I don't know. I mean, I hasten to recall the old commercial for the classic rock compilation. I can't even remember what it's called. I just remember that it ended with a hippie in a chair outside of a Winnebago saying, "Turn it up, man." It's
okay.
Just like
Turn it up, Seattle Rep.
It has to be uncomfortably loud and, you know, sung incorrectly.
And that won't happen.
It won't happen.
Do it loud, do it wrong. Sean Nelson, editor at large, writes about the arts for The Stranger. Greta Harley, co-writer of the musical These Streets, A Rock and Roll Story. Check it out. Both of you, it's been great to talk with you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
We've been talking about the Seattle Rep's idea of a quote-unquote, air quotes, grunge musical. Back with more of KUW's The Record in a moment.